Goranga gana go chigoloru haram. Goranga gura tamago pyare kolpa briksham. Gopala gada rati damyati singha gora. Govinda deshi kavaram satatam namami. Namo brindavanankaya tubhyam goloka molane. Purna Brahma Tapatraya Namo Gobardhanaya Cha Hantaya Madhara Bala Hari Dasa Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Charana Spadasa Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahagogena Yustayoryad Paniya suya vasa kandara kanda mulai Vanchakobadarubhischa Kripa sindubhyeva cha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today we'd like to move on to the sixth verse of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's Govardhan Basa Prarthana Dasakam, and this will be the conclusion this year of this set of prayers. So we can try to recite together, please. Stala jala tala saspar bruhu hachchayaya cha pratipadamanukalam hanta sambhardayangaha trijagati nijagotram sartakam kyapayanme Nija nikata nivasam dehi govardhanatvam. One more time. Stala jala tala saspire buhu hachchayayacha pratipadamanukalam hanta sambhardayangaha trijagati nijagotam sartakam kyapayanme Nija nikata nivasam dehi govardhanatvam Nija nikata nivasam dehi govardhanatvam. I was a pujari for a long time, and I was confused when I first talked to some of the local devotees here at Govardhan and how they do puja, because my conception as a pujari was everything was in odd numbers. If you see the ghee lamp, it's always three or five or seven, like that, ghee wicks. And you always offer odd numbers of flowers and odd numbers of sweets and whatever. But they told me, no, 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 we don't do that here in Brudge. Everything here is even numbers because we like twos. We like Radha and Krishna together. So it's nice to chant the verse at least twice. So this verse describes, through your patches of level ground, your waters, your grasses, and the shade of your trees, O Giriraj, you wonderfully nourish Vardhana, the cows, go at every moment. Thus, O Govardhan, you affirm to the three worlds the appropriateness of your name. O Govardhan, please give me permanent residence near you. So, in his commentary on this verse, which is ascribed to Baladeva Vidyabhushan, he says that Raghunath Das Goswami, he's changed his course a little bit. Whereas in the last verse, last few verses, he's been speaking about very intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna. Yesterday's verse, he's speaking about Radhakund. And prior to that, he's speaking about Donakeli Leela. So he thinks himself, actually, maybe this is inappropriate. And I should speak something a little more simple because I'm not qualified to see these very intimate, amorous pastimes. So, Giriraj, just give me something. Maybe I'm not qualified to see the most intimate pastimes, but please, I want your association. You don't have to give me that, but give me something. On one level, he's saying this. and there's also another level. So he's saying, praying to Giriraj, that stala jala tala saspire. Stala means the land. And by having different flat stones, Giriraj has different stones, some of which are just like sofas. And Krishna and the cowherd boys sit, or sometimes Krishna and the gopis. Jala, water. Giriraj has so much different water. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami say that through that water, Jiva Goswami specifically says in Gopal Champu, through that water, Krishna is offering padya. He's washing the feet of Krishna. Giriraj is offering padya to Krishna. He's washing Krishna's feet. And Saspai, with the different grasses on Govardhan Hill, he's nourishing the cows. Buruha means the trees. And those trees, Buhura Chayaya, the shade of those trees. In this way, he says that Samvardayan, that Giriraj, you're truly Govardhana. You're nourishing the go, the cows. And therefore, Nija Gotram, Sartakam, Triga Jagati Nija Gotram, and all the three worlds, Trijagati, Nija Gotram, your name is Sartaka. It's very, very meaningful. It's very, very appropriate. And it's appropriate for me. So indirectly, then he's indicating that this is also one reason we want to approach Giriraj, because he's Govardhana. He nourishes go. Go means the cows. But go also means the gwalas, the cowherd people of Braj. And go also means the senses. He nourishes our senses. He nourishes our spiritual senses. So we want this from Giriraj. We want some ruchi, as we were speaking in the first day, how Giriraj gives such a wonderful taste. In this regard, today we'd like to speak something about what is the particular mellow or rasa that Giriraj has toward Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he writes in his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 8:19, Prabhupada says, a devotee, therefore, must be attracted by the behavior of the inhabitants of Vrindavan who live in a relationship with Krishna. Right? We must be attracted by that. It's not enough just to put things in cruise control and doing 16 of these and 4 of these, but we're not satisfied until we have, we should be attracted by the behavior of the residents of Vrindavan who have a relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada says, the land, the water, the cows, trees, and flowers serve Krishna in Shantaras, neutrality. His servants serve him in Dasya Ras, servitorship, and his cowherd friends serve him in Sakya Ras, friendship. Okay, yeah, that's better. Thank you. Similarly, the elder gopis and gopas serve Krishna as father and mother, uncle and other relatives in Vatsalya Ras, and the young gopis, the cowherd girls, serve Krishna in conjugal love, Madhurja Ras. Prabhupada says, while executing devotional service, one must be naturally inclined to serve Krishna in one of these transcendental relationships. That's the actual success of life. So everyone should have some kind of staibhav. Staibhav means a fixed mood or fixed rasa in connection with Krishna. What is the staibhav then of Giriraj? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks about this in his Saartha Darshani commentary on the Bhagavatam 11.12.8. And Vishwanath says there that all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, of Braj, are very, very special. And he says, by bhavs, without mixture of karma or gyan, without desires, by bhakti yoga with madhurja, vatsalya, sakya, and dasya bhavs, they all attained me. The gopis, he says, attained me by madhurja ras. In one place, Vishwanath says that everyone has to do sadhu sangha to get perfection. So what sadhu sangha did the gopis do? They associated with Krishna. That was their sadhu sangha. And they attain me by Madhurjaras. The cows attain me by Vatsalyaras. And he says the mountains, like Govardhan, attain me by Sakyaras. Now, this is very interesting, isn't it? After hearing all these things we've been saying about Giriraj and how Giriraj's ontological position is that he's Krishna's personified love for Radha, and how he brings Radha and Krishna together, how he nourishes the different Madhurja Ras, how he provides a place for the Ras Leela, how Kandare Kandarete and all the different caves, there's different pastimes of Radha and Krishna going on, how he nourishes the Dhanakeli Leela, the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And now Vishwanath is telling us that Giriraj is in Sakya Ras. So let's analyze that. Let's think about that in a deep way. Also based on this verse that we were reciting in our Mangala Charna this morning, Hantaya Madhura Bala Haridasa Varyo, from the Gopi Gita, where Raghunath Das Goswami says that Radharani, Radhika Bhakta Chandra, from her lotus mouth came this verse, that Giriraj is Haridasa Varyo. So if he's the best of the servants, how is he the best of the servants? And in the purports to that comment, to that verse, Vishwanath describes that there are three devotees who are particularly famous as Haridas, or servants of Krishna. And those devotees are Yudhisthira, Uddhava, and Giriraj. And we can study a little bit about the particular relationships of those devotees and why it is they're the best of devotees. If we study the relationship, Rupa Goswami speaks about this in Ujjal Nilamani, the relationship that Yudhisthira Maharaj has with Krishna, we can see that his mellow, his mood toward Krishna is a mixture of three different rasas. He's in Dasya Ras. He serves Krishna as a servant. He's in Vatsalya Ras. He has this affection for Krishna because Krishna is a little bit younger than Yudhisthira. So Yudhisthira wants to protect him. He wants to look out for him. He has that Vatsalya Ras. And he also has some Sakya Ras, some mood of friendship. His mellow with Krishna is a mixture of these three things. And therefore, the mood that Yudhisthira has toward Krishna can be called Purna. It's complete. We know that Krishna, Krishna's devotees, and relationships with Krishna can be divided into three categories, Purna, Purnatara, and Purnatama. Complete, more complete, and most complete. So the relationship that Yudhisthira has with Krishna is Purna. It's complete. And therefore, he's known as Haridas, one of the topmost servitors of the Lord. Uddhava is also addressed as Haridas, but if we consider the matter carefully, his relationship with Krishna is even more intimate than the relationship that Yudhisthira has with Krishna. Uddhava also has a mixture of Dasya, Vatsalya, and Sakya Ras. But if we consider how he was sent by Krishna when Krishna was in Mathura, he sent Uddhava with a message of love. My revered spiritual master called this Mathura meets Vrindavan. And we made some book about that. How Uddhava came with a message of love. And he spoke to the cowherd boys, and he spoke to Nanda and Yashoda, and he also spoke to the gopis. So he was acting in these three different ways, in Dasya Ras, in Vatsalya Ras, he's also a little older than Krishna, and also in Sakya Ras. But his Sakya Ras, he's acting like a Priyanarma Sakha. It's a technical phrase. Priyanarma Sakhas are like Subal and like Madhu Mangal. And they're privy to the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They're present during many of the most intimate pastimes of the Lord. So Uddhava, he's acting like a Priyanarma Sakha because he's giving some message of love from Krishna to the gopis. And he gets to see Radharani there at that place known as Uddhavakeri near to Nandagaon. He gets to see Radharani's unmadana, her madness, and her jalpa, her mad talks while she's speaking what's known as the Brahmaragit. He's speaking to a bumblebee. So Uddhava is a very, very intimate devotee. But only Giriraj, out of these three, is addressed as Haridas Avarya. The other two are Haridas, but Giriraj is Haridas Avarya. And as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says here, Giriraj attained me through Sakya Ras. He said the mountains like Giriraj. So first of all, from this we can understand it's not exactly speaking about Giriraj's rasa. And Giriraj is no question of Giriraj attaining Krishna. He's already had Krishna. And Vishwanath comments on this too, that it's not that the gopis in Govardhan Hill didn't attain Krishna. Rather, they're eternally perfect. But he hints at something that Giriraj has a very intimate friendship with Krishna. But if we consider, out of all three of these devotees, only Giriraj is Haridasavarya, because Giriraj, he's able to fulfill Krishna's desire in all the rasas. Whereas Yudhisthira can only function and act in three rasas, and Uddhava a little more, and Priya, he's a Priyanarmasaka. But only Giriraj can fulfill all the different pastimes of Radha and Krishna and all the different devotees in Dasyaras and Vatsalyaras, Sakyaras, Madhurjaras. And he also assists in the topmost pastimes of Radha and Krishna by providing caves, kandare kandare te, and sata sata gunja kunja kandare kandare te. Sata sata gunja kunja, we were singing in this Govardhan Artik song, that he has hundreds and thousands and millions of gunja kunjas. I remember a few years ago, we found a very old tunnel, not very far from here, maybe a kilometer or so. And it would look like maybe it's just a cave. We weren't really sure. It's just a little ways from Giriraj. And so we came back with a torch and a stick because we were concerned. There's a lot of snakes around Giriraj. We didn't want to go in there and meet a cobra or something. And so we're going through this tunnel, and it's a little low. We later found out it was a water tunnel meant to drain off Airavata Kund. And so we were going through this tunnel very, very dark, and we don't know what's going to happen. And when we came out at the other end of the tunnel, coming out in Airavata Kund, the first thing right in front of our face is this thorny bush, which you would know is a gunja plant. So gunja kunja, there's so many different kunjas on Giriraj. Out of these gunja malas, gunjas are a very thorny bush. We wrote a long article. I'm going to say something. Some devotees will be upset with me again, as they were yesterday, for not explaining this. But it's a long topic. But I just want to put in a little word for our magazine. We wrote a long article about the origin of gunja. And why is gunja so dear to Krishna? It's a long story, and it would take up the rest of our discussion today. And also something about the tradition of gunja in India. It's one of the most deadly, poisonous things in the world. Very interesting subject. But that gunja plant is very, very dear to Krishna, and this gunja grows all over around Giriraj. It's a thorny bush, and you see they have different colors, generally red or black. Sometimes they have green ones also. So Giriraj, he provides caves and gunja kunjas, as well as special places for the Dhanakeli Leela, the tax pastimes, and other things for Krishna. Therefore, the intimate, friendly relationship that Giriraj has with Krishna is not like any other type of Sakya Ras. Because like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Giriraj has two identities. Giriraj is Krishna, but he's also come in the mood of a devotee. So he nourishes so many different rasas. At this point now, I'd like to address something a little controversial. Sometimes devotees, they say, Prabhuji, you shouldn't speak about anything controversial. But that's really boring. And actually, the fact is, if you want to understand friendship, friendship means you'll speak about something controversial because you trust the other person. That's an indication of something intimate. So our little controversial subject today is, can we worship Giriraj Govardhan Shilas as Balaram? or as Radharani. And I've marked through our years of research on this subject about Giriraj and speaking with many, many different Vaishnavas, it's a little bit of a controversial subject. There are many devotees who worship Srila as Balaram or as Radharani. And there's some devotees who say, no, no, this is not correct. So let's analyze this a little bit. To support the conception that one can do this, devotees generally cite two verses from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Brajriti Chintamani. And chapter 3, text 10 through 11. And there he says, Jambunadada grava varan niriksha krishnagrajo ram vishabhanu jadi duram prayati spatikochanatat krishnagrajo traityapi sa piyatra. A translation, if while walking on Govardhan Hill, Krishna's elder brother Balaram, if he sees some spatika stone, some golden-colored stones, then he thinks, oh, the daughter of Maharaj Brishabhanu, Radharani, must have just now walked in front of me. And so he changes course. Balaram and Radharani, they don't hang out together. Radharani feels very, very shy in front of Balaram. And Balaram also, he stays away from that to give some privacy to Radha and Krishna. So to avoid some awkward situation, Balaram goes a different direction when he sees golden-colored stones on Giriraj. In the same way, Vishwanath says, if Radharani sees some white stones, she thinks, oh, Balaram must have walked here before me, and she changes course. Interesting. But if we analyze this verse carefully, first of all, it doesn't say that Balaram identifies the golden Shilas as Radharani, nor does it say that Radharani identifies the white Shilas as Balaram. And we don't know of any place in any Gaudiya literature that speaks. Sometimes devotees, they ask us this question, how do you distinguish between different Govardhan Shilas? It's a good question. And there may be many different answers to that question. But from my side, I don't know of any evidence whatsoever. If we speak about Shalagram Shilas, there are many different Puranas and places which speak about what is a Krishna Shila, what is a Varaha Shila, what is a Nishinga Shila, how you can tell by different markings, etc. But with Giriraj, we don't know of anything, of any description in Shastra. So what the verse says is that Radharani, Balaram is thinking that Radharani must have been here, and so it's not appropriate for me to walk down the same way she went. And the precise term used is Vrishabhanuja D, which is explained by commentators as Vrishabhanuja Vartata Iti Dir Yashya, or one who thinks that Vrishabhanu's daughter came in contact with this Shila, thus leaving behind a golden hue. Similarly, Radharani doesn't identify the Spatika or the crystal Shilas as Balaram. The verse only says that Radharani's thinking Krishnagrajo Triti, that Balaram was here, Krishna's elder brother was here, and he left behind a crystal white hue Shila. And so she avoids going down that path. The next verse describes Krishna's two Jambunadadma Jam. Eti muhu swakanta jyuti vidabhudi kantapi tashyendra mani silantam kanti brahmachir haridasa varye. And he prays to Giriraj. He addresses Giriraj as Haridasa Varya. And Vishwanath says that Giriraj is the best of servants, that Krishna, mistakenly thinking that their effulgence is coming from Radha, he goes to golden stones on Govardhan Hill. When he sees a golden stone, Krishna goes running there, thinking, this hue, this color must be coming from Radha. And similarly, Radharani, when she sees a bluish stone, she thinks that, this must be Krishna, and she approaches those stones. Vishwanath, in this verse, he says that Krishna was vidabhudi, which means that he was mistaken in his mind. And similarly, he describes Radharani as Kanta Brahmat, that she had an illusion of the sapphire stones being Krishna. So Rupa Goswami, he states that under the influence of Yoga Maya, sometimes even Krishna and Radha have some supposed faults. I think we gave a seminar here at the retreat one year about the faults of Krishna. We've done that in a number of different places, once in Germany and also once in Hungary at the farm. There are 18 different faults. Rupa Goswami provides a verse from the one Purana. 18 different faults in a conditioned soul. And you'd be very interested to know that Krishna has 16 of them. And it's very paradoxical, because those 16 faults are what make him greater than God, what make him greater than Lord Vishnu. And it's very, very sweet how he likes to lie and he steals and does things. But he does all of that to give pleasure to his devotees. There's only two faults that he doesn't have. Kama albana. Kama albana means very intense lust. And Ruksha-rasata. Ruksha-rasata means very harsh dealings. Krishna doesn't have these two faults, but he has all the other faults in a very, very sweet way, including Brahma, or bewilderment. It's okay. Krishna sometimes becomes bewildered. So nothing in either one of these verses indicates clearly that some of the Shilas are either Radha or Balaram. Nor, to speak very frankly about this controversial subject, is there any tradition that we've found from the time of Mahaprabhu's associates of worshipping Shilas like Balaram or like Radharani. But we found some very, very interesting things. I don't want to discourage any of the devotees who are worshipping in a particular way. The Bhagavatam describes Bahu Murtyeka Murtikam, that there are many different ways to worship the Lord. The Lord manifests himself in many different forms. That's described in the 10th canto. In the 3rd canto, it said, Tattadvapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. That Krishna is so merciful to his devotees that he manifests in a particular eternal form of transcendence in which the devotees always think of him. This is Krishna's nature. This is a nature of avatari. According to the mood of the devotee, Vrindavan Das Thakur says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Je Rupa Chinche Dasi Se Rupa Hoy. According to how you think of the Lord manifests a corresponding form. We see this in Jagannath Puri. There's a famous story when the great devotee Tulsidas, who's the author of Ramcharitmanas, which Srila Prabhupada said is the best book in Hindi, and he was a great devotee, that when Tulsidas came to Jagannath Puri, when he came before Lord Jagannath, Jagannath changed his form. And Jagannath manifested the form of Lord Ramachandra. And Subhadra became Sita and Balaram became Lakshman. Because this is the mood of Tulsidas. So the Lord manifests a corresponding form to the devotees. Prabhupada writes in a purport, in the 8th canto, chapter 18, text 12, he says, an actor changes dress to play different parts, but he's always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Samhita, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadam, Anantarupam, Adyam Parana Purusham. So, he's the same personality, the Lord, but he manifests different forms, and he does that to please different devotees. So, another interesting point that we contemplated in this regard is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who we've mentioned several times, has some very interesting similarities with Giriraj Govardhan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He's the combined form of Radha and Krishna. And as we mentioned on the first day, according to the Bhavishya Purana, Giriraj came from the mind of both Radha and Krishna. And Garga Samhita says that Giriraj came from the heart of Krishna as the personified love, Krishna's personified love for Radha, there's a connection with Giriraj between both Radha and Krishna, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a connection. But Giriraj, according to our Goswamis, and according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes, that's another long discussion, how Mahaprabhu has different moods and why he has a different mood, and that's also something we write about in the magazine. Giriraj is generally seen as a devotee, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he's in the mood of a devotee, he's Bhakta Roop. So Giriraj also is in the mood of a devotee, according to our Goswamis. So as a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I like to think he was something like a 16-year-old Gurukuli that you just let him into Govinda's restaurant when no one was there and just, you know, he can do whatever he wants. So that 16-year-old Gurukuli, he's going to be very happy. He's going to have a big plate of pizza and some pasta and all the different cakes. He can have whatever he wants from the restaurant. So Krishna's a similar way. Krishna's Prithivishroy. He's a supreme object of love. But as the object of love, he's a little disappointed. And we consider that he's not Purna. We didn't finish our previous talks. Yudhisthira is Purna. Uddhava is Purnatara, more complete. And Giriraj is Purnatama. He's most complete. Similarly, Krishna Leela is not complete Leela. And Gaurgavinda Maharaj used to tell us that it's like a green mango. It's not fully ripe. But Gaura Leela is like a fully ripe mango. When Radha and Krishna, they become one, is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's able to relish something that he's not able to relish in Krishna Leela, the mood of Radharani. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most complete. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like that 16-year-old Gurukuli. Now he's come as a devotee, and there's a smorgasbord of things that he can taste that he's never gotten the chance to taste before. And we read in Chaitanya Mangal and Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita how Mahaprabhu was relishing the mood of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and sometimes the gopis, sometimes the queens in Dwarka. Sometimes he was manifesting the mood of Balaram. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Adi Leela, chapter 7, it says that Mahaprabhu manifested the mood of Balaram and he demanded the devotees, hey, I want some honey. Because that's what Balaram likes. Right? Give me some honey. And it said that at that time that Advaitacharya and Vanamalayacharya, Deki Ramakara, they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Balaram. It's very interesting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not Balaram. He's Mahaprabhu. But they saw him with a golden plow in his hands. Another example from the 8th chapter of the Madhyalila of Chaitanya Bhagavat. It says there that on one occasion Mahaprabhu met a Shaivite bhakta, a Shiva devotee. And that devotee was offering prayers to Lord Shiva. And when Mahaprabhu heard those prayers, he became so ecstatic. He jumped on the shoulders of that devotee. And Hunkara Koriya Bole Muni Se Shankara. In a very loud voice, he began to shout, I'm Shankar Shiva, Mahaprabhu said. This same pastime is also told in Chaitanya Mangal by Lochan Das Thakur. And in Chaitanya Mangal, it says that when Srivas Thakur and Mukunda Dutt saw Mahaprabhu saying, and I'm Lord Shiva, they began offering Shiva Stuti, prayers to Lord Shiva. Now, does that mean that they think that Mahaprabhu is Lord Shiva? No. Does that mean the devotees think that he's Balaram? No. But they offered prayers to Balaram. They saw him. They offered prayers to Lord Shiva. Another interesting example is there from a book called Dharita Bhakti, which is a kind of Stala Purana in Orissa. And it said that there was one Ganapatya Bhakti, Ganapatni Bhakta, one devotee of Ganesh who was living in South India. And so he heard that Lord Jagannath was Purna Brahma, the absolute truth. So he decided, I want to go and have darshan. And he came to Jagannath Puri on the day of Snan Purnima, when Jagannath has his public bath. And Jagannath, when he saw my Ganesh Bhakta there, he manifested the form of Ganesh. And to this day, in Jagannath Puri, going on for hundreds of years, well past the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was a magistrate, and perhaps at the time of Mahaprabhu, we don't know, Jagannath has worn this dress every year on Snan Purnima after the Snan Yatra, the dress known as Hativesh. And he dresses as an elephant. That's interesting. I have a friend, a good friend, who's friendly with our ISKCON movement also, and a very learned devotee. And he has some connection with the Sri Sampradaya. We made a magazine many years ago, and we told this story about the Hativesh. And when we made this, he became a little angry with me. He's still a little angry to this day. Because in the Sri Sampradaya, they don't do that. And that's considered to be upasiddhanta. He would say, according to Vedanta Sutra, this is Brahma Parivad, the Lord, you might consider that someone may say that the Lord has changed his form and now he's become Ganesh. And that they consider that to be Mayavad. We don't accept that kind of philosophy. But that's not our understanding of Ganesh, Jagannath and Puri. That's not our understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he manifests the mood of Lord Balaram or the mood of Lord Shiva. And we see his very intimate devotees, they begin worshiping him like that. They see him like that and they worship him like that. It doesn't mean, it's a problem for the Sri Vaishnavas because they can't reconcile worship of the demigods in any way, shape, or form. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we sometimes worship Surya Dev, Krishna's grandson Sambha, he was worshiping Surya Dev near Puri and Konark. The gopis were hearing how they worship Katyayani Devi. Sometimes they also worship Surya Dev. Sometimes they worship Durga Devi. Sometimes they worship Gopishwar Mahadev. But they don't think that they're supreme. Similarly, in the Madhva Sampradaya, if you go to Udupi, just near to Udupi Krishna is also a Shiva temple, which the Madhvas, they go and they worship. They have no problem with it. But the Sri Vaishnavas, they don't appreciate this. But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we can accommodate it. We don't think that Mahaprabhu has become Balaram or he's become Shiva or Jagannath has become Ganesh. We think they've adopted this mood because the Lord is greedy to understand the mood of his devotee. He wants to relish that. And so he's adopted a particular mood. I also found another interesting thing in our research about Giriraj. Not far from here, maybe 1 or 2 kilometers, you may know there's a footprint of Airavata, and there's Indrakund right near there. And there's a little temple on the hill of Govardhan, which you can see from both sides of the hill. And that's the temple known as Luka Luka Dauji, or sometimes also known as Doka Dauji. Luka means to see. And so it's said at that place, Balaram once was watching the Ras Lila. Krishna was doing the Ras Lila Chandra Sarovar, which is quite a distance. Balaram has very good vision. And Giriraj was perhaps much higher at that time also, we've heard. In any case, the Balaram could see the Ras Lila, and he became so charmed by that he became stunned. And so to this day, they worship a Govardhan Shila there as Balaram. And we have some photos of that Shila also, which we put in our magazine. We had some Brijbasis go on the hill to take pictures. It's very interesting that Shila, it's not even white, it's an ordinary golden color like most of Giriraj. But they worship him as Balaram. They don't think that now Giriraj is Balaram here. He's still Giriraj, but they consider he's adopted that mood. Even more startling than that, there is traditions around Giriraj. There's also 2 Shilas very close to that Luka Luka Dauji temple on the side of the hill close to Airavata's footprint. Airavata is Indra's elephant, if you don't know. And there's 1 Shila in the form of a Shiv Linga. And it's a Govardhan Shila, it's Giriraj, but they worship him as Gopishwar Mahadev. How many of you, raise your hand, have any of you been to the temple of Kundeshwar Mahadev at Radhakund? Raise your hand. Anybody here has been there? That Shiv Linga has a very interesting history. They say that he's a Govardhan Shila. But they worship him as Lord Shiva because he's in that form. Not far from the Gopeshwar Shiv Linga by Airavata's footprint, there's another stone which is all colored red with vermilion. Because the pilgrims, when they go there, that form, you can see in the photo, that he's perfect form of Hanuman. He's a Govardhan Shila, but he's manifested as Hanuman. If you're coming on the Parikrama Marg from Kusum Sarovar, and when the road forks, and you can go left to the bus stand, or you can go straight, which takes you to Manasi Ganga, if you go straight, a little after that fork, on the right-hand side, where Giriraj is one large Shila who has the form of Ganesh. And the bridge bossies, they worship him as Ganesh for who knows how long. And there's also another Giriraj Shila there who looks like Hanuman. And again, they've worshipped him as Hanuman for such a long time. So it doesn't mean that these particular Shilas have become, that Giriraj has become Ganesh or Giriraj has become Lord Shiva. But just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested a particular mood at a particular time, and the devotees, seeing that mood, wanted to enhance it. And they worshipped him as Lord Shiva, or they worshipped him as Lord Balaram. In a similar way, the local tradition at Giriraj is there's many different Shilas they worship as Balaram, and some as Radha. We've also found at Kusum Sarovar, there's one for a long time they worship as Radha. And the devotees, they don't think necessarily that now this Shila is Radha or is Balaram, but Giriraj has manifested that particular mood. So ultimately, what makes worship right or wrong is that it should be conducted with devotion and in accordance with the directions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Srila Prabhupada, he described in one lecture here in Vrindavan, the Nectar Devotion Lectures, which I like so much, on the 29th of October, 1972, he said, we should not manufacture our own way. It must be confirmed by the spiritual master. So when I know I can give an example in my own case. My Guru Maharaj gave me very specific instructions how I should worship. He gave me a Govardhan Shila, and he told me very clearly how I should worship that deity. I have a godbrother who is also worshiping Giriraj. And he also got instructions from our Guru Maharaj how to worship. But his instruction was a little different. And later he was watching me and he contacted our Guru Maharaj and he said, Guru Maharaj, I like the way Madhavananda does it. And I'd like to do that. And our Guru Maharaj chastised him. He said, no, that's for Madhavananda. That's not for you. So, Sri Vigrahara Dana Nityanana Sringara Tan Mandira Marjanadu Yuktashya Bhaktams Chaniyunjatopi Vande Guru Sri Charanadavindam. Our worship of the deity is not done by ourself. The worship of the deity is done by Krishna's pure devotee. He has the adhikar to do that. I don't have the adhikar to do that. And I'm doing that Yuktashya Bhaktams Chaniyunjatopi. Yuktashya means to engage. Gurudev is engaging the devotees in that way. And therefore, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, before we do our puja, there's different ways devotees do it. Sometimes they offer Pushpanjali to Gurudev, then Param Gurudev, then Para Gurudev, then maybe Nityananda, then Mahaprabhu, asking for permission to worship each. Other times devotees, sometimes they show their Gurudev all the different articles before they offer it. It's the same principle, that I'm asking for permission. I'm doing this on behalf of Gurudev. I don't have a right for that. So that's our system of worship. And it doesn't mean there's a right or a wrong. Different people will have different conceptions about this. This, as we said in the beginning, this is a very controversial subject matter. This is our findings on this topic. Other devotees may have other different feelings about it because Krishna can be worshipped in so many different ways. And Giriraj is Krishna. It's not that one way is right, another way is wrong necessarily. As we said on the first day, that if you were a newspaper reporter and you went to Mathura after Kangsa was killed, and you asked so many different people what happened, who was that little boy from Vrindavan, you would get so many different answers. And it's not that one person is right and another person is wrong. Ultimately, what's right is a conception of our Gurudev. What's right is a conception of our Acharyas. What's right is a conception of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we want to understand that conception. So I'll stop here. I wonder if we have a little time left. If anybody has any comments or questions. In the back, can we give someone a microphone there? I can't see very well. Mataji.
What I thought of when you were describing the Lord taking on the different moods of his servitors sometimes was when Lord Brahma stole all the cowherd boys and put them in a cave. And then Krishna became each one of those cowherd boys. And he had the mood and the complexion and the clothing and the habits and everything.
That's a wonderful example. Some of our acharyas, they say that it was during that 1 year that while Krishna took the form of all those different cowherd boys, that all the gopis were married. And Krishna, by adopting all those different forms, as you've nicely indicated, very nice example, Krishna got to relish being the son of all the different elderly gopis in Braj. And he got to relish the mood of being a small calf and being nourished by the elder cows. Krishna is so very eager. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments in one place in that pastime. He says that Krishna wasn't drinking just milk, ordinary milk. And we should know this. Milk is not an ordinary thing. Milk is love. Milk means when the mother has loving feelings for the child, that milk starts coming. And therefore, some devotees, I'm not advocating one side or the other, it's controversial, but some devotees, they won't take milk that's not taken from protected cows, because the common feature is that when the calf is born in the industrial dairies, they take the calf away from the mother. And then what is that milk like? That milk is full of anxiety and full of sadness from the mother, and there's all kinds of toxins in that milk. It's not very healthy. But when the calf is with the mother cow and she's so very, very happy, and she's wanting to give that milk to her baby, that milk is her personified love. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says similarly that Krishna, when he was drinking that milk, he found it as an intoxicating beverage. He was becoming completely intoxicated, drinking the milk from the breasts of the elderly gopis, drinking the milk from the udders of the older cows. So in this way, as you nicely pointed out, he's able to experience what it's like to be a calf in Braj, what it's like to be one of the cowherd boys and be nourished by the mother. Very nice example. Thank you. Anything else, is there? Maharaj, is there a microphone?
I'm very inspired. I write very fast to remember everything. Well researched, I must say. Really. Very nourishing also. I have a question on Giriraj acting as a friend of Krishna. First of all, can you just help me, because I'm mind is getting a little was a little tired and okay. Where is that said that you use?
This is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary in the 11th canto.
Acha, yes, I heard that, and now I remember also.
Yeah, it's 11, 12, 8. Eight. Yeah.
The mountains like Giriraj became made by Sakyarasa. I'm very interested in this. As how Giriraj is a friend, and you very nicely explained that there are three servants who have a most complete servant attitude. So, and Giriraj's most is Purnatama because he serves in all the various rasas. Now, wonderful, you have used your very good research and intelligence to give one, to shine a light on Giriraj's friendship with Krishna. Is there anything else which comes to your awareness by scanning the different literatures and statements of Acharya?
I thought
Giriraj is a friend, because I also feel that there is something very intimate going on between from reading the literature.
All I can say that there's another place I came across, I didn't save that reference, but I think it was Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu, perhaps, where he mentions Giriraj has an attitude of friendship toward Krishna. All that I can say about that from my side is thinking about it, how Giriraj is such a wonderful friend. He knows, he wants to serve Krishna, Krishna's most intimate desire to be with Radharani. He wants to serve Krishna's desire to take care of the cows, to take care of the cowherd boys, to take care of the bridge bossies, to defeat Indra, who's also a devotee of Krishna. Giriraj acts as such a wonderful friend in all those different ways. That's the only thing that I could add to that, Maharaj. Okay, maybe one more. Lila Purushottam Prabhu.
Coming to me regarding this specific topic is that if Giriraj serves in all the rasas, then our relationship to Giriraj would be defined by our specific staiva. Is that a correct understanding?
Yeah, the cowherd boys, they see Giriraj in a certain way, that he's great place to play with Krishna. And he's a great place to go and take care of the cows. And Nanda Maharaj sees in a similar way. This way the cows will get nice and fat, and we can give nice milk to Krishna. So that Giriraj, he serves, he enhances all the service of all the different devotees.
That would give a freedom to sadhaka to approach Giriraj according to his need.
Yes, but that's not a speculative thing. As we quote sometimes from Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda says, Name Prasvatito Hai Rupa Guna Karma, that from the holy name will come Krishna's form, qualities, and pastimes, and also will come our sthayibhav, our realization of that. That's our line. We're not followers of the path given by Jan Chandra Goswami, coming from Puri, or the Siddha Pranali, Ekadas Bhav thing. We say that the holy name gives everything. It's a big subject. Okay, Prabhuji had something quickly, and we should stop.
Yes, all these three Karadasa, they are in Dasasaki and Ratsali, and we also know that Madhuravasa is the highest. Why? Could you explain this, why there are no Madhuravasa for Karadasa or Karadasa?
Well, Giriraj is also serving a Madhurja Ras. This is why only Giriraj is Haridasa Varya. Yudhisthira, he's not serving the Madhurja Ras. Uddhava can see it a little bit, just as Madhu Mangal and Subal can see a little bit of Madhurja Ras, and they act sometimes as a messenger for Krishna. So similarly, Uddhava can do that. But only Giriraj serves in such a very intimate way. He gives his body to become caves for Radha and Krishna to perform intimate pastimes in. So only Giriraj is Haridasa Varya. Okay? So we should stop there. It's a little late now. So thank you all very much. I appreciate everyone coming very much. We're going to just, by the way, tomorrow, we're going to go to a very special kund, which is also right near our VIHE, and we'll do Harinam going there. It's a very, very quiet, peaceful place. And we're going to speak something about the marriage of Radharani. How is it that Radharani is married, but we say that Radharani belongs to Krishna? That's something of our topic tomorrow. So if anyone wants to come for that, we'll be there. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari, Vanchakalpataru Bhischa, Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva Cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnava.